a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
We've gone to get some really good teams, and I'm just really proud of the way our guys played and really proud of the outcome for this one.
Welcome on in to a special Cougar Sports Saturday podcast reaction to BYU taking down Arizona State in a game none of us thought would unfold in the manner that it did, Mitch, but BYU has done it for a second consecutive year. First time in 59 years. Think about that.
Wow.
59 years. BYU has started 3-0 in consecutive seasons, and it's the first time in program history that they've beaten ranked opponents in back-to-back weeks with no bye in between. So BYU football is just continuing to impress. And this season, we can finally put to bed the argument that BYU wasn't good last year because the opponents weren't any good. They've played good teams in back-to-back weeks. Now, Utah, they lose SDSU, so how good are they? We don't know. But these are Power 5 teams, and BYU is 3-0.
Yeah, because that's what we've been told all of BYU's existence. Power 5 is the end-all, be-all. And, well, BYU is sitting atop the Pac-12 South right now with a 3-0 record. And they have still two games against Pac-12 teams this season. Might be the Pac-12 conference champions. And I got to say, too, don't you think the Big 12 is pretty happy right now?
The Big 12.
They got to be loving this, seeing BYU have success weeks after they announced the Cougars into the league.
The Big 12 has got to be overjoyed. And if you I know we're a couple years away, but if you look at just the success of those four teams and now the 12 as a whole compared to the Pac-12, this year, the Big 12, take out Oklahoma, Texas, and insert the new four, they're having a better year than the Pac-12 in 2021.
They are, and it's pretty exciting stuff right now for BYU. And Cougar fans, you got to be loving life. I mean, Big 12 invite, yes, that's incredible. And then now you got a football team with a bunch of new faces, and you're 3-0 after playing three Power 5 teams. Exciting stuff. BYU gets it done, 27-17 over number 19-ranked Arizona State. Tweet your reactions to us at KSL Sports, by Amonte Matt, Mitch_Harper. Throughout the night, wherever you may be listening to this podcast, tweet at us, DM us, whatever you want to do.
We got a tweet already from from a familiar foe, Emma.
Oh, what did Emma say?
Emma, how cool was Baylor's last throw? Guy could have buckled under pressure, could have slipped, but just threw a great ball to Rex. Feels good to have that kind of too deep at the quarterback position. I love, and let's start here.
Yeah.
There's so much to react to, but let's just start with Baylor Romney. Baylor Romney, Baylor Romney. That guy has had a career at BYU. He has delivered in clutch moments, and he has not been rewarded with the opportunity to lead the team. And he's been here for a long time. And imagine the disappointment he had when Jaren Hall won the job. Because he had done enough in 2019 to be a starting quarterback somewhere at a good football program. He beats Boise State. I mean, Baylor Romney's a good quarterback. And the disappointment he must have had, you can only imagine being told, you're not the guy. Like, think about that. You're not the guy. And the guy in front of you is your same class, so you may never get a crack. And then he comes in and throws that pass. And I wrote this in my KSL Sports article, Three Observations, Shameless Plug on KSLSports.com.
Always a fixture that you got to read.
I said, shades of the 1998 San Francisco 49ers, Green Bay Packers, yes. When Steve Young stumbling, bumbling, throws the pass, it's caught. I'm like, he almost trips and falls. And then it would have been a hard field goal because it would have been off to the right hash at close proximity. And then he throws it up and Isaac Reck makes a play. Just, I love that Hammer brings that up. And that was a phenomenal moment. And the guts, the fortitude, the you know what to make that call speaks volumes about how they believe in Baylor Romney.
And it's further evidence that this coaching staff, the narrative that they were saying in fall camp and in spring ball, we've got three quarterbacks. They are the BYU coach staff. Sorry, it's 1:30 a.m. or 1:20 a.m. I'm giving myself 10 extra minutes. But I don't think we never felt, you and I on Cougar Sports Saturday, felt that was just coach speak. I felt like there was truth to that. There was some passion. There was some vigor and vim behind that. I thought that coaches truly believed in those sentiments, and I think that was evident with that play call. It was a gutsy play call because, I'll tell you, when that play was happening, he steps in for Jaren Hall. I'm thinking, you hand the ball off to Tyler Allgeier.
Two times, and that's it.
Do not throw this. He's coming in cold. I mean, he comes in, hasn't played a snap this whole year. Game is on the line. Think of all the probabilities there that could potentially happen. A pick six, something could go awry, and it changes the whole dynamic of the game. He's nails. He looks like he's going to slip. I flash back to the Boise State game in 2019. Now, that was a little bit by design.
That was a design.
Where he like kind of went down and then threw it to Matt Bushman, but still kind of the body angles. It looked, remind me a little bit of that. But still, great job by Baylor Romney. Great job by Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall goes 15 of 27 for 214 yards, two touchdowns, two INTs. One of them, okay, I like the shot.
It's a 50-50 ball.
Yeah, in zone. But the one that he made, and we got to talk about this next.
Oh, man.
And I thought you had a great comparison when we were in the press box sitting next to Alex Keery and Dallin Graff. It was kind of like Zach Wilson with Frantz Bernard in 2019.
Yes.
Yeah.
Identical, because they escape. They're trying to make a play. They're about to be brought down, and then they just flick it out, and you're like, what the freak just happened? And Merlin's beard is running down the sideline.
Great Merlin's you. Raven.
Jeez. And, like, for the first 25, 30 yards, you're like, no freaking way. And then you're like, whoa. Tyler Allgeier is going to make a move here. Okay, Tyler Allgeier is going to make a great play. BYU defense is backed up. And then he goes and makes the play of the year, one of the historic plays in the Kalani Sitake era. I mean, this is one of the seminal moments in BYU football history. Who knows what's going to happen? However, with that being said, parentheses to that comment, they're going to be favored in most of their football games the rest of the year. But if, you know, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, that play saved the game. I mean, it was an unbelievable play by Allgeier.
Yeah, it was 21-17. And that if Robertson, who was once a BYU recruit, BYU pursued him a little bit, had he scored that, ASU goes up at least two, PAT pending, it would have been three. And I think it's a completely different outlook going into the fourth quarter, because BYU's been a team, they haven't trailed the entire season, Matt. The whole year. They've given up these third quarters where they're giving up 10 unanswered, and they're letting these teams back into it, but they have yet to trail this season. And I think that would have been a different dynamic, because as we saw, ASU had better personnel than Utah and Arizona. They were a talented football team. I will say, though, Arizona stayed a little bit dirty in the second half defensively.
It was ridiculous.
I thought there was a little bit of some egregious extracurricular stuff that I thought – they're lucky
dirty
it's not
in the first
called.
Half, though. Yeah. That Powell gets whistled for an unsportsmanlike penalty, and he was the one who was getting his face beat in on the play. And then at the very end of the play, he sort of retaliates. I didn't think it was penalty worthy, but yeah, ASU was dirty. You bring up that fourth quarter, though, and if ASU scores, listen to these numbers, because it's an entirely different fourth quarter. BYU runs the football 17 times for 81 yards, and they possess the ball for 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. That doesn't happen if that goes to the house.
Good point.
Because then you got to throw the football. You're trailing for the first time in the season, and you've got to mount a comeback in a game in which if Puka Nacua makes a play at the end of the second quarter, you're up 21 points. It's 28-17 if he makes that play. That preludes the interception from Hall to Romney in the corner of the end zone. So it cannot be overstated how big of a play that was. And let's also honorable mention on the play for Jaren Hall, because quarterbacks all the time on these plays don't even try. They just get out of the play. He recovers the fumble. So he wasn't going to make the play, but he hustled his butt all the way back down because he got tackled on the play and then recovers the fumble.
You mentioned the fourth quarter rushing. Texas Stew at CPA underscore Cougar. Keep the tweets coming, folks. This is great to see. It feels like we're doing a live show here at 1:20 or 1:30 a.m. CPA underscore Cougar writes, BYU is a fourth quarter rushing machine. It doesn't work early on, but we grind teams late into the game until it breaks their will. I like that take because you saw guys like Clark Barrington getting into the second level of Arizona State's defense late in the game. You're thinking, yeah, BYU is breaking the will, as CPA Cougar writes. That was great to see because, yeah, there was struggles in this game for BYU offensively. The first quarter, that wasn't pretty. I'm thinking, oh, man. I didn't feel like it was a letdown in terms of emotion from the Utah game. I thought the intensity, the atmosphere was fantastic, and I'm sure we'll get to that momentarily. But I thought that first quarter, I'm like, oh, man, this is not looking good. In-game adjustments from Roderick, the coaching staff, I thought was top-notch. And it was just one of those tough, grinded-out wins. And then at the end of it, you're seeing a 10-point victory against the number 19 team in the country. That's a nice win for BYU going forward.
And I'm glad I'm not the offensive coordinator, because in the box, I was like, abandon ship. Abandon the run. Like I was, because the initial adjustment made, Mitch, was throw the football. And after it was the fourth drive, because BYU's first three drives, they get the touchdown on the turnover. But they have 12 plays for like 7 yards on the first four drives. And then they come out and they're just slinging the football around. You got that pass to Dallin Holker on the screen. You get Gunnar Romney involved. It was the passing that resulted in the moving the football, which I touched on this briefly, but I thought BYU was going to run the football in this game, and they did towards the end, but like I didn't expect BYU to throw it with this kind of
ease. That's a good point.
Like, this Arizona defense had 131 starts, one of the best secondaries in the Pac-12. BYU was slicing and dicing them in the second quarter.
Yeah, they were, and it was a thing of beauty. And I thought, then I had a complete 180, and I'm thinking, man, BYU's just tearing this team apart now. It was just crazy, the ebbs and flows of this game offensively and at times defensively, too. Again, you know, Arizona State, they scored 10 unanswered in the third quarter. That Daniel Nata came in for Rashad White at
Daniel
running back.
With a Y in there, by the way.
Yeah, it's like
the spelling is wild. I got to get it for you guys, because if you didn't see it, it is D-A- N-I-Y-E-L.
Yeah. Mr. Nata, I apologize for incorrectly pronouncing your first name, but you're a heck of a football player. Once again, a backup running back came in and gave a little bit of a spark in the third quarter
like
to give
Mekhi
his team.
Bernard.
Yep, exactly. And so that's something of note to kind of keep going forward for BYU. There's been just these weird trends that have been taking place for BYU, but I liked what the defense did. And keep in mind, too, Matt, you know, this BYU team, the depth was tested. Keenan Peely goes down with an injury. That was a bummer. We saw him at the end of the game on crutches, and Kalani said, hey, old, if it is a season-ending injury, he didn't say that it's going to be, but if it is, he'll tell us on Monday. They're going to get an MRI on Keenan over the weekend. That was a bummer to see him go down. Isaiah Heron went down, and Caleb Hayes had some moments, but they were going at Caleb Hayes,
Caleb
who clearly
Hayes wasn't
didn't have many snaps behind his belt.
No, you can see the talent, but they went after Hayes, and Hayes was getting beat consistently. You think about that third and forever that the let me get the receiver's name here.
LV Bunkley.
Ricky Purcell gets that toe in on like third and 18. Yeah. That was on Caleb Hayes.
Yeah.
So that too deep at secondary, dang good, but I don't want to be dipping into the three deep too often.
Yeah, you hope that Heron can come back and be okay.
And when is Keenan Ellis going to be ready? He's got to be getting close,
I think,
right?
He's pretty close. I think by Utah State, I think it'd be the timeline. He's roommates with Chaz Ayu, who joins us on Cougar Tracks every week, and I think there's some optimism that he could be coming back here pretty soon. And I think also, too, you know, Tyler Batty got nicked up. I'm just trying to think here.
Atunai Samahe.
So this was a game where depth was tested. You saw a lot of guys like John Nelson, Blake Mangelson getting snaps on defensive line. BYU, their depth was tested, but they come away with a win. And again, defensively, you would have thought Jaden Daniels goes for 265, 21-29. But as Aaron Roderick always talks about when it comes to offensive stats, stats don't really matter. It's about the points. And they ended up with 17 points. BYU's defense bent but didn't break. And I got to say, too, when you talk about BYU's defense, they were also paired late in the game with the BYU Rock. That student section in the south
Holy
end zone,
smokes.
They brought it. Four false start penalties from Arizona State, if I remember right.
Four, yeah, absolutely.
And
on the second to final drive.
You could – I don't want to say complete credit to the Rock, but they accounted for a lot of that.
I'm giving them complete credit because it was crazy. It was – I mean, that was really impressive. And the BYU student section does not get the credit they deserve because in this state it just always seems to be it's the must. The BYU Rock is up there with the must, and they have really turned it on. I remember first when – they named themselves The Rock, and they got The Rock over there, and I'm like, this is not working out.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, wow, this is two back-to-back showings. Now, here's the real question. Because the great student sections, Mitch, they do it week in and week out. Are they going to do it next week against South Florida? I hope so, because what they have done in these first 2 weeks has changed the games. There's no denying that the crowd here in Lavelle Edwards Stadium played a role in BYU's wins over Utah and Arizona State.
Yeah, and I hope that they do come back, and hopefully last year's experience made everyone want to kind of clamor to get back into the stadium because it's been awesome. You had 61,000-plus in attendance tonight. Not a complete sellout, but darn close. I think if it would have been a 6 p.m., 7 o'clock kick, this would have been a sellout.
I'm sick of that. Honestly, I am ashamed that it wasn't a sellout.
You're ashamed
this
of
has to be a sellout.
61's not
it's
bad,
a top
man.
25 matchup. If you really missed it, they should have – I just don't get it. 8:15 is like the perfect time to put your kids to bed, get a sitter. Most people here have family, so it's free babysitting. Get to the football game. You know I'm right.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just trying to tap
it's
into the
It's not acceptable to come off a year where you finish – was it 12 or 11? I can't remember now. 12?
You finished 11.
11, okay. Yeah. You finished 11 in 2020. You're freaking 3-0. You're in the top 25. You want good teams to come here. Arizona State is a dark horse team to win the Pac-12, and you don't fill the stadium.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Arizona State should win the Pac-12 South. That team is better than the previous two teams BYU faced. But, yeah, the fans, sell it out for USF. It would be great to see. I don't think it's going to happen for USF but because it's an 8:15 kick and it's USF. But, hey, you got one of the – I feel like BYU coming out of this game – should be one of the top 15 teams in the country.
Yeah.
They've got a better resume than darn near anyone in college football right now, Matt. They're the only team in the land that's 3-0 with all three of their wins against P5 teams. That should matter. And the thing is too is that BYU has won 14 of their last 15 games now. Kalani Sitake suddenly is 41-26. It felt like he was hovering around 500 ball in his coaching career. He's quickly climbing in terms of winning percentage at BYU, and it's fun to see. And BYU football is playing at a high level right now, and that's ultimately the most important thing right now. And the Cougars go to 3-0. USF next Saturday, 8:15 kick. And the good thing, too, Jaren Hall, he's going to be playing next week.
Can we talk about that for a minute? So Jaren Hall goes down. Mitch has these giant binoculars that he brings up.
I'm a big binoculars guy
in the press box. And you can see sweat dripping from his brow as he's peering into the binoculars, looking into the medical tent. And honestly, when Hall was down, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Because that's one of the few plays where you can't criticize him for trying to put the game away. Yep. He's 2 yards away from icing the game. And it wasn't even the hit that I think caused the issue. A huge defensive lineman falls on him. And my first thought was, the hip. Not the hip. He misses 2020 with the hip. Not the hip. And he goes into the tent. And you were watching it like a hawk for 5-10 minutes. Finally, he comes out. He jogs to the locker room. Like, okay, that's a good sign, right? You hear Kalani on ESPN say, Jaren's tough. He's going to be back. Well, I'm not a doctor. And you're like, okay, what the heck's going on? Then in the post game, Kalani's like, Can't really comment on it. I'm not a doctor. We're gonna figure it out. Then who did we hear from? So we hear from Kalani. We don't get anything.
Isaac Rex.
Isaac Rex. So Max Tooley. Hall is a tough dude. We wouldn't be here without Jaron. Tooley comes in. Then there was
Jaron.
And me and you with our masks on are like, what the freak's going on here?
Yeah.
Jaron Hall. Is that the important? When he came on, you felt like, okay, it's probably not a big deal.
Right.
And then he clarified exactly what the injury was.
Yeah, and for fans that aren't familiar, usually with BYU press conferences, and this is kind of typical for a lot of college football programs or even the NFL too, when a guy gets hurt, usually they're not going to the podium. Let him get some time to decompress, get evaluated, get all the medical attention they need, and focus on that. But, yeah, Jaron gets to the podium, you're thinking, whoa, okay, that's significant. He must be okay. And then it wasn't even the first two questions. Someone asked something else. I can't remember. But then there was a TV reporter here in Salt Lake that asked about his health. He said, just got the wind knocked out of me. I'm good. And then
the big
follow
dudes
up.
Fell on me or something.
Yeah, follow up. Are you going to be good for next week? Yeah, I'm fine. We're going to be healthy tomorrow and then ready to go for USF. I'm good to go. I'm like thinking that is a sigh of relief for BYU. Not that Baylor Romney can't win against USF and can't win against Utah State because he did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But just Jaron's got that, as Herm Edwards said this week, he's got that wow factor. He's got the superstar dynamics that you love. And it's like his ability, again, he goes for 38 yards rushing, 214 passing.
This was his least good performance of the three.
But he still was solid.
I know.
You just feel like that guy at quarterback, he's going to do something special. And he does not get rattled, too, by an interception. I love that about Jaron Hall. This is the first time in his career he's had picks, and he just didn't get faced. He kept pushing
and
forward.
And I love that he owned. He's like, that was a stupid play. Yeah. Like, I can't do that, and I haven't done it, and I'm going to learn from that. Because that could have cost him the game. But, man, honestly, it was crazy to see Jaron Hall in the postgame. I don't know who to give credit to, so I'm going to speculate and give credit to Jaron Hall. I think that Jaron Hall, just knowing what kind of leader he is for this team, I feel like he said, I want to get on that podium and talk to Cougar Nation.
Yep.
I could be wrong, but that's kind of how I felt it went down, because I don't think Kalani would have made him do it, and
no.
I don't think BYU would have made him do it. I think he said, I want to do it, and now we all feel great about the future of this team with a healthy Jaron Hall.
That's such a great point. Zach Hicken, a former KSL colleague, tweeted in, Jaron Hall is a hell of a leader. The crowd was great, and number 25 should be retired. Okay, Tyler Allgeier. Yeah, Jaron is Jaron is one heck of a leader. He's awesome. I've been so impressed with how he has just taken the leadership of this team, and you see him go out there as a captain. He is, to me, the face of this BYU football program, and he's done a tremendous job filling the shoes of Zach Wilson, where it's not even a storyline anymore, being the successor to Zach Wilson. That's not even a thing. It's his job.
It's reminiscent of the 80s.
Yeah.
It's just great quarterback. Who's the next guy?
Yeah.
Another good quarterback.
He's already put his imprint on the BYU quarterback position, which that's not easy to do. That is a position that has tons of history, tons of tradition. It's great to see what Jaron Hall is doing. A few more tweets. Love all this interaction, folks. Keep coming at KSL Sports, Biamonte, Matt, Mitch underscore Harper. Brandon Lemon writes, and that's Brandon, your last name is a trigger right now for Matt because BYU did not have the lemon cookies tonight.
What happened? I specifically waited till the second half to get a cookies. I'm like, okay, they bring up the cookies quick. They're usually the chocolate chip ones. They're fine. Like, they're adequate. They're free, too. But I'm like, those lemon ones I had against the Utes, man. Woo!
He gives praise to Baylor Romney. Incredible how he just comes in, doesn't miss a beat, and performs. It really is amazing.
And did you hear
Baylor
the story,
does.
Too? I don't know if you've heard it yet, Mitch, but apparently he was told, don't throw the football unless he's wide open.
Yeah.
And stumbles, throws the pass, perfect pass, Rex calls it in, the game's over.
It's amazing. Baylor Romney, he's clutch, man. He is that cool, calm customer that you just dream of. And that guy would be starting at a bunch of Power 5 teams. You think about all the bad quarterbacks in Power 5 football right now? That guy's a stud. What a luxury BYU has to have a guy like Baylor Romney to come off the bench and just be ready to go. Andre Hutchins tweets in, did BYU out-scheme ASU on that last drive? Or
no.
Was their physical endurance just that much better than
yes.
ASU players it looked as if BYU players had more bursts of energy that ASU wasn't able to match down the stretch. What a game.
It was Will at that point. And it was, to me, it was surprising that that's what it came to, because in the third quarter, Arizona State ran the ball 14 times for 119 yards, and BYU could not get it going on the ground. I just felt like it's not going to happen. And the script flipped, and I don't know really what it was other than maybe just determination, but, man, I think it was just sheer physical will at that point by BYU.
It's BYU is 3-0, and it's a sad thing to say that a fourth of the season is now done. Through three games, Matt, what do you feel is the strength of this team, and what's the area that they got to improve the most, in your opinion?
That is a great question. I think the strength of this football team is wow. That's I think it's Jaren Hall. I think they have. I think they have. This is going to sound crazy, but I think they have top 10 level quarterback play in college football right now. You look at You look at great football teams over the past decade that struggle. Clemson is struggling with DJ Uiagalelei. I think I said his name right. I don't know.
Ohio State with C.J. Stroud. They struggled against Tulsa today.
Texas doesn't have a quarterback. Jack Cohn at Notre Dame is I mean, Jaren Hall is a top 10 guy. So I think the strength is you have one of the best quarterbacks in college football right now. One of the things that BYU can work on is they need to limit mistakes. And I'm not just talking penalties. I'm mainly talking drop passes.
Yep.
Because there have been moments in all three of these games where the offense gets rolling and then something happens on the third or fourth drive to where it stalls a scoring opportunity and then the offense takes a step back. If Puka makes that catch and it's 28-7 in the end zone, is the route on? Because BYU would have gotten the ball to start the third quarter if they're up 21. Who knows?
We talk about Merlin's pick six potential, how that would change the game. 28-7 changed the whole face of the game, too.
Yes, absolutely. So BYU's got to clean up these mistakes. They've been starting slow, and that's fine because the defense has been playing well. But last year, when they got going, it was just all gas. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's like all gas, and then a piston misfires, and then you got to pull over and figure something out. So they got to stop these self-inflicted wounds that are – because the BYU could have scored 35 points in this game, but and they could have scored 35 against Utah. They probably could have scored 35 against Arizona. And these things, penalties, drop passes – they're getting in the way, and so I think that's what needs to get cleaned up. Just because you see the moments of brilliance. That second quarter, it was like, whoa, this team could put up 40, 50, and then drop pass, some penalties, a three and out, and then they're in a dogfight. So I think it's the self-inflicted wounds that are holding back BYU's offense in particular, of being much more explosive.
I think that's great points, Matt. And I'd say the biggest strength, I think, is – it's easy to say, and I kind of it's a cheesy word in college football that's thrown around a lot. They have a winning culture right now. Think about the first year with Kalani Sitake. There's some parallels to this season with that first year in 2016. Week one, they opened up against Arizona. That game required, in 5 years ago, required a last-second field goal from an unknown Jake Oldroyd. Week two, they choke against Utah. This year, week one, they took care of business, I think, soundly against Arizona. Let them get into it a little bit, but really you never thought the game was in doubt. Week two, BYU handles Utah. Week three, 5 years ago, they play UCLA in Provo, a good UCLA team that had Josh Rosen. There was some buzz about the Bruins at that time, and they just got kind of handled. It was like a late touchdown from Nick Kurtz, but it was really never close. BYU was pretty much handled, and they felt like they were outclassed, outmatched. Fast forward to 5 years later, you go up against a ranked team that's another trendy Pac-12 South contender, and BYU did not look outmatched at all. We heard so much about ASU speed, their talent. Yes, and those guys did have some moments where you saw that top-end athleticism, but still, BYU belonged on that field, and they came away with a 10-point victory. I just think that the winning culture, that carryover from last year, it's been proven to be real.
Yeah.
It's tangible that this team – whatever adversity faces them, they feel like they can win. So I feel like that is their biggest strength. I think the weakness right now for this team is that I'm starting to have questions about how much more the offense can do. I think it's good enough to be in these knockout, dragout, slugfests all the time. But At some point, will you need that game? Which opponent will cause the threat where you need to put up 35, 40 points? Will that be needed? I mean, maybe the defense is just so dialed in that they're not going to break at all this year, but I feel like there's going to come a point this season where they might have to be in a shootout. Can they keep up with a team? I just don't know who that is, because I feel like ASU is one of the better teams on the remaining schedule. I look at the remaining slate now, Matt, and I think Virginia might be the toughest team remaining.
Yeah, I don't think it's USC. USC did win.
Yeah,
they played a bad Wazoo team. Like, BYU should handle. We can't even really consider Wazoo a Power 5 team. They look bad. Yeah. They lost to Utah State at home. USC blew them away with a true freshman. Now, Jackson Dart's dang good, but still, you get blown off your home field by a true freshman against a team that fired their coach earlier in
Rolovich,
the week.
Rolovich, the vaccine thing was fine. Like, you do you, man. But you better win. And now he's instantly put himself on the hot seat because of those decisions off the field. And
it
now they got a bad product on the field.
Like, I wonder if he's given that opportunity again if he passes. Because I just feel like Hawaii and him were a good marriage.
He seemed like Mike Leach light. They wanted this crazy, canny, like, run and shoot offense similar to the air raid. No, it doesn't fit. I feel like Rolovich, I remember we interviewed him. He's a little different guy.
Yeah.
He's just kind of wired differently. But yeah, this schedule, I think Cougar fans, you can start dreaming big now. I really do.
Absolutely.
Feel like you can dream that this is a 10-win team potentially. I don't see
10-win? So you're seeing two losses. Where are you seeing two losses?
I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, like, to me, any time you get a 10-win season, that's pretty special, I think. I feel like 10-2.
10-win is – you can't put special with 10.
I don't think so.
I think a 10-win season is a great season.
Okay.
A special season is what we saw honored at halftime tonight.
Okay.
1996.
One loss. Okay. That could be there, though, because there's not many games remaining, if any at all, that you say, oh, yeah, chalk it up, guaranteed out. There's
none. They won't be favored against USC unless USC just bottoms out.
Yeah.
But with Virginia losing to North Carolina, I think now you give the edge to BYU in that game at home. Baylor will be tough because it's a road atmosphere, but you will have had three easier games prior to that.
Yeah.
And then I guess you do have Boise State in there too, but did Boise State win tonight?
I'll have to check on that. They played Oklahoma State.
I'm looking right now.
We'll have to see if the Big 12 pride has...
No. Oklahoma State wins 21-20.
Oh, okay. Hashtag back the Big 12.
Oh, jeez. Pride. The power of the Midwest.
But, yeah, this was a fun night. Again, BYU gets it done. 27-17. The Cougars are 3-0.
I got one more takeaway.
Celebrate Cougar Nation.
Sorry, Mitch.
No, you're good.
One more takeaway. How awesome is it that Gunnar Romney has been balling since the injury? Like, that injury did not look good. He finishes with 6 receptions, 95 yards, the touchdown on the flea flicker, had the other long ball, and if that ball was maybe 6 inches deeper, it's Gunnar Romney coming down with that instead of the interception. It wasn't a bad throw, but if it was just a little longer, he has two – I mean, we thought that he could have been out for weeks.
Yeah.
And then he gets back-to-back touchdowns against big-time opponents. He played with guys – in high school on the Arizona State team.
This was a hometown game for him.
And he balled out. Like, it's awesome to see him. Because do you remember when we talked to them at Cougar Sports Saturday and he was like, God forbid I don't get injured. This is my senior year. Like, I want to go out with a bang. And he goes down to the Arizona State game like, that sucks. Because now he probably has to come back. Like, that's great for BYU. But these guys don't want to be here for 5-6 years. They don't.
Especially when you're married.
When you're married and you're as talented as Gunner, you want a shot at the NFL. He's out for a month. That he's got to come back. But he has fought through the injury. It's the yoga. Somehow he bounced back with the yoga, and now he's balling out. I love to see it.
Yeah, another underrated performance. Dallin Holker, 2 catches, 40 yards. Finally got him going as well.
The 4 tight end, catches for the tight ends.
Yeah, tight end position had their breakthrough night. It was bound to happen, and it got done in week 3. Just a great night overall. BYU ends up getting outgained by Arizona State. Arizona State had 426 yards.
They've been outgained in every game,
haven't they? BYU 361. Stats don't matter. It's all about the final score. Passing yards, 265 ASU, 217 BYU. Rushing yards, 161 to 144.
There is one stat I think that does matter, and BYU has been killing it this year. red zone.
Yes.
Perfect 3 of 3 again in the red zone. They were 5 of 5 against Utah in the red zone. They have been cashing in when they get opportunities to score.
Yeah, BYU's done a great job on offense in the red zone and defensively too. ASU still had a missed red zone opportunity, 3 of 4. So you do that. I mean, one missed opportunity from your opponent in the red zone, that could swing a game too. And that was critical for BYU. Hopefully, going forward, everyone gets healthy. Keenan Peely, not Nysa Mahe, Isaiah Heron, and Jake Oldrich. A little bit of a bummer that this is kind of a touch and go with the lower back issue for Jake Oldroyd. I saw him dressed in the pregame. He kicked a few balls, but gosh, that's just a bummer because that guy is so good for BYU. He's an automatic. He's a huge weapon. Hopefully, he can give it a go next week against USF, or maybe you have the luxury to
sit him because he doesn't become a weapon if he can't score from 50.
Yeah,
so if he's going to tweak his back, I mean, I think Justin Smith can make from 40 and in. What makes Jake Oldroyd special is that he can nail from 40 to 55.
And you just have that just utmost confidence in him. Like, he's going to hit anything.
And if he's injured and you don't have that confidence, then it's no longer a weapon. So you really need to just shut him down till he's ready to go, which sucks.
So we're talking about him in 2021 as a sophomore somehow still. He'll get a medical and... it's going to be the running storyline. He's going to go into like the 5th year of the Big 12. Like, he's going into a senior season. It's 2030. The man has been there every step of the way for a decade and a half with Kalani Sitake.
He's not going to make it that long. He's getting married soon. He's not. He can't last another 7 years as the BYU kicker.
No, I can't imagine. But hey, that's not a bad life. He's getting that cryptocurrency now with the NIL deals. Life is good for these BYU football players. By the way, speaking of life is good, I don't know. I got to figure this out. I got to maybe ask around, but I swear half the team was wearing Pit Viper sunglasses coming into the stadium. Did they get some NIL deal with Pit Viper? I got to find that out. They all rolled into the stadium, like half of them, with Pit Viper sunglasses. I'm like, dang, they're bringing the swag. I like me some of those Pit Viper sunglasses.
I've never heard of those.
They're kind of a young college age Barstool Sports, Old Road type of sunglasses. It's like, hey, Saturdays are for the boys, Matt, that type of sunglasses.
When you've graduated to Maui Gyms, you don't care about these fads at the college level.
Yeah, I'm an Oakley guy personally. I love me some Oakleys. Even though I lost my pair at the glorious Orleans 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah, $150 pair of shades lost in the Orleans, which doesn't even cost as much. A nightly stay doesn't even cost as much
it
as
does
those.
Now with yeah. the Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah, good point. Those freaking resort fees. My goodness. My goodness. Anyway, this has been a great show. Follow us on Twitter, social media, at Biamonte Matt, at Mitch underscore Harper, at KSL Sports, and download the KSL Sports app presented by University Federal Credit Union. Big shout out to Cougar Nation for always listening and supporting this podcast and supporting the show. We'll be back next Saturday on Cougar Sports Saturday from noon to 3, getting you ready for BYU and USF. And you know, we'll always be atop of everything on KSLSports.com and the KSL Sports app. So signing off from the coach's box here at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. We'll catch you next week here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.